Hi, everyone. Welcome to WMRW 94.5 FM and streaming at WMRW.org. This is Jerry with the 5-8 Show, and I have a guest calling in, and I'm going to get that right now, and then I'll be right back. WMRW. Hi, Lincoln. Are you ready to go on the air? I was just getting ready to introduce you. Okay. I'll put you right on the air if you're good with it. Okay. Okay, Lincoln, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. My guest is Lincoln Earl Centers, and Lincoln is married with 3 kids, and he's an arborist, has a small business in central Vermont. But the topic we're going to talk about today mostly is he's also the Vermont State Director of Braver Angels. And I'll actually, instead of doing the introduction, and since I have you on the air, Lincoln, I think I'll just let you talk about what Braver Angels is. We can start with that.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, so I'm a volunteer state coordinator. Most states have a state coordinator or a pair of state coordinators. It's a national organization and movement, Braver Angels. Braver Angels came about after the first Trump and Hillary election in 2016. A group got together in Ohio and got, I think it was 8 Hillary voters and 8 Trump voters together after the election when there was so much heated reaction to that election, and the goal was to see if they could break through the stereotypes and assumptions that they had about each other and rehumanize one another. And it was a very successful weekend. They spent a whole weekend together and were surprised that the demonization and characterization that they had encountered in the media about each other wasn't what they encountered in person with each other, and that was heartening for the whole group. And they took it on the road and did a bus tour. Back then it was called Better Angels, from the phrase in Lincoln's address about the better angels of our nature, and they changed the name to Braver Angels, that it takes courage sometimes to practice these skills and take on difficult conversations and engage in conflict and disagreement. And one of the stops that they did, and I think it was 2017 when they did this initial bus tour, was up in St. Albans, Vermont. So we have a local group up there that's been going for all these years, that meets, I think, quarterly, and has a meeting, and has one of the tenets of the organization at every level, from the leadership down to the local level, is that there are an even number of red-leaning folks or right-leaning folks and left or blue-leaning folks on either side in leadership, and to the extent that they can be, whenever there's dialogue or engagement or debate, to have representation from both sides. So that's a broad stroke story of Braver Angels. Mission is basically just to help depolarize and de-escalate the social tensions and the political tensions that have just continued to be amplified and accelerate as a topic of concern for a lot of people.
Yeah, so you said originally somebody, and is there one founder of the organization who got this idea, or?
Yeah, there's 3 founders that all worked together for that first workshop and sort of building the organization at the beginning. And so they have since then built a big team, and most of the activities are volunteer lay leadership run. There's a small paid staff nationally, but there's engagement and activity going on in all 50 states, and it's a large movement of people getting together and doing various forms of discussions, debates, building relationships, learning and teaching skill sets around communication and disagreeing better, having healthy conflict, the value of disagreement. And so, yeah, it started small, and now it's a big national movement all over the place.
So they got 8 Hillary supporters and eight Trump supporters in the same room. They didn't even need the National Guard or anything to come in and keep them separated.
I wish I'd been at that meeting. There's a short documentary about it on, I think it's on YouTube.
And really?
It's a lovely video to watch that, people are visibly uncomfortable being in the room with each other. And by the end, there's laughter and hugs and a lot of relating going on where people get out of the demonizing and ostracizing of each other and just do a combination of better understanding their differences, clarifying and verifying, we talk about, and finding common ground. And it was so effective that they took it on the road, and it has spread since then. And now there's sort of a number of workshops, some of them geared more towards engagement and some of them geared more towards skill building.
Mm-hmm. When I originally heard, I think I heard about this about 4 years ago during the pandemic. I think it was meeting you at one of the meetings that I went to. And I remember hearing the name Braver Angels, and I assumed it was a religious organization. Is there any religious affiliation? Or
Not in terms of sort of what the movement or organization is doing. We have, I think in the last year and a half or so, developed a workshop for spiritual communities and communities of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some activity, but in terms of sort of the origin of the movement, it's sort of a secular organization and not with a religious background.
Yeah. And you grew up in South Carolina, is that correct?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, down in the Smoky Mountains.
What brought you to Vermont?
I came to Vermont on New Year's Eve 17 years ago, and it was just a shot in the dark. My ex and I had a 6-month-old and a 1-year-old with us in an old RV, and we were coming from Idaho, and both of us had grown up on the East Coast and met on the West Coast and had our boys out there, and we just wanted to come back east and wanted to try New England. So we sort of had it in mind that we were going to explore Vermont and explore Maine, and we didn't know much about deep winters. Neither of us had grown up with strong winters, so we were pretty naive to show up on New Year's, but it was it was one of those years where there was no snow on the ground yet. And we drove through Brattleboro and then kept coming up towards Burlington, and we blew a tire on the trailer we were pulling between Barrie and Montpelier and had to pull off in Montpelier for the night, and woke up to 8 or 9 inches of snow and have been here ever since. So Montpelier sort of grabbed us.
That's quite a story. A little different than North Carolina, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, but the culture and the landscape have a lot of parallels and some big differences.
Yeah.
Both mountainous, woodsy areas, though.
Yeah, that's true. How did you first get involved in Braver Angels?
I think I initially encountered Braver Angels through their podcast, which has gone through a few iterations now. And so this was probably back in early, maybe like the winter of 2021. And
during the pandemic.
During the pandemic. And I remember that it was right after January 6th, and there was a good conversation about that with people who had been there, and I hadn't heard any nuanced conversations about January 6th until that point, and was impressed by that conversation of having a much more nuanced conversation about how complex that event was. And I looked it up to see what else Braver Angels was doing, and at the time, most of the engagement with Braver Angels was through Zoom. There was a lot of online events, and we had a wonderful New England alliance with people from all the New England states. That was a strong alliance that would meet once a month to put on some sort of event, a workshop, or a discussion of some kind. And so for maybe a couple years was involved in that workshop, alliance, and became part of the leadership team. And as happens with volunteer leadership, was asked to be the state coordinator of Vermont. When we didn't have a state coordinator, we had a regional coordinator that was the coordinator for a few different states, and so took that on and have just been involved ever since.
You know, I'm just curious, when you say nuances about January 6th, do you remember what the details were of that? Or
vaguely, yeah. What I remember about that episode, I don't think I've re-listened to it, but my impression of it was, first, that, you know, even in alternative media at the time, I wasn't hearing conversations with people who were there to get people's direct impressions. There was a lot of sensationalism and alarmism, and that particular event had been one that was on my mind because I had watched it live and seen what a complex event it was, and then seen how it was characterized afterwards. And this, I think the conversation was pretty soon afterwards, so there was a lot of just volatile rhetoric around what had happened and who the people that were there were and what they were up to. And this was a conversation that showed a different side and sort of rounded out how complex that day was. And that was what stood out to me.
Yeah. Yeah, when you guys get together, do you have monthly meetings? Or how do you communicate usually? How do you get together?
Yeah, well, there continues to always be online activities all the time. There's braverangels.org is the website, and there's a place where you can search for an event. And there, anything that is hosted online by any organization within the country, any alliance within the country, you can jump on and be a part of. And sometimes there's specifically nationally events. And then locally, one of the project that I've been involved with as a state coordinator is just having the aspiration to bring this offline and have it be more and more in person with local relationships. So we still have that alliance going strong up in Franklin County and St. Albans. And in the last year, we've gotten an alliance off the ground in Chittenden County. And every maybe three months or so have done a skills workshop somewhere in the state, have done them at schools and libraries. And we're going to have, coming up in June, an interesting workshop in Montpelier called Being Red in a Blue Environment. And that's a unique workshop where it's geared towards sort of one side of the spectrum politically and socially to let folks who lean red come together and share with each other their experience of what it's like to be in such a majority blue progressive area and what it's like to feel marginalized in that way. In the culture of Vermont, especially central Vermont here in Chittenden County.
Yeah, you're in central Vermont, right?
I live in Montpelier.
But when you said, I guess in the beginning, like you, the originators of Braver Angels got 8 Hillary supporters and 8 Trump supporters in one room together so they could try and understand each other. Do you do that locally, like in Vermont, when you... Do you bring both ends of the spec, like the red? I hate to use the term red and blue. I don't know why. It just kind of bothers me. But people of different perspectives together to try and understand each other.
Yes. So it depends on the context. And I've also I'm a person who is independent politically and also struggle with right and left and red and blue language, but I've come to appreciate, you know, that Braver Angels uses that language just to be clear about framing, and that for a lot of people that language works well. And one of the things that we emphasize, because a lot of people say, you know, I don't feel like I'm a red or a blue person, and so it's like, well, you can be purple or you can be other or independent, and it's just as relevant for anybody. In fact, often the people that don't feel political are especially drawn to the spaces that Braver Angels holds because it tends to be conversations taking on controversial topics that just aren't being taken on in other spaces. And so yeah, that's sort of a catch-22 for a lot of people, of using that language as the framing to make sure that there's diversity and balance, but also that it can be a hang-up sometimes. And so to your question, in Vermont, when we do a skills training, for example, it doesn't matter if it's a majority or even everybody leaning one direction or another. If we're doing a conversation or an official alliance group, then there needs to be at least roughly like a 60-40 split, and whoever's involved in sort of an activity that's specific. So we might do something like a fishbowl activity where each side shares with each other what their experience is and is witnessed by the other perspective. And that would be an example of an activity where you would need to have a mixed group of people to be able to have a conversation like that. And to have an official alliance group, you need to have leadership from both perspectives, and you need to have at least a core group from different political perspectives.
You know, it's just such a great idea. When I first heard about it, I was just so enamored, because I think it's the biggest problem, people not understanding each other. And if you can bring people together to understand why they think the way they do or what brought them to that place, it just goes so far to create peace, basically.
Right. Yeah, one of my favorite little maxims from a Braver Angels workshop is this idea that, do the people that you're talking about feel understood, and do they feel respected? And one of the things that I notice more and more is that there's this conflation that in the media and in our culture at large, people have this reflex that if you listen to somebody and offer them understanding of where they're coming from, or offer them respect in your attention or your behavior, that you're somehow ceding the point, whatever it is. So if you disagree or think somebody's erroneous or dangerous in their thinking, that to clarify and verify where they're coming from and actually understand where the conflict is somehow agreeing with them. And so part of what Braver Angels is really trying to promote and help people practice is this idea of being able to have strong disagreement once you've clarified what the disagreement is, so that you're not just acting on assumptions and stereotypes and reactivity with each other. And then the engagement about those differences just takes on a whole different character.
Yeah, this might not be a fair question, but how do you think we got to such caustic polarization? How do you think we got here?
It's a great question. A lot of people are doing good work with trying to engage that question. For me, it's complicated that on the one hand, there are the obvious sources of, that we have a media and a political landscape that incentivizes and rewards sensationalism and antagonism and people being opposed to each other and dividing and fracturing people. I also see it sort of more from a spiritual perspective that, it's a huge problem, but it's also a huge opportunity that we have so many tendencies towards tribalism and towards othering each other when we disagree, and towards feeling emotionally reactive and triggered when something's upsetting to us. And my experience is that for all that is happening with our technology and with our media and political spaces amplifying those tendencies, that it's sort of confronting us socially with, that it's no longer an option to not address those things. And so on the one hand, it's a painful hassle and can be a source of despondency and, just frustration, but it's also a huge opportunity to work on an individual level and on a community level within the groups of people that we know to practice new skills about what we do when we feel triggered by each other and what we do when we don't agree on information or we don't see eye to eye. and really coming to appreciate the value of all having different points of view and seeing those as being complementary rather than contradictory.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm guessing the censorship that's going on is a huge problem, too.
Yeah, I think...
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that fits right in with, you know, when you have that dimension of things where people are scapegoated or people are censored or ignored or diminished in some way, as often happens, you know, from both sides of the extremes.
Yeah.
What happens is that people become more extreme in their points of view and either get more volatile or more withdrawn, and most often sort of some form of zealotry or fanaticism is an extreme reaction that again we're sort of met with these tendencies to entrench or withdraw when we're not being heard and when we don't feel respected or understood in our, what, you know, whether we have an outlying perspective about something or whether we just have a disagreement, it winds up being very counterproductive to shut people out because it creates new dangers of people acting out when they're shut out, and that really has social consequences for all of us.
Yeah. I guess I think, how many times do you think you know something and then you meet someone who has an alternative viewpoint and explains, you listen to that alternative viewpoint and you say, yeah, you have a point there, you know, because maybe,
absolutely,
you know, and that's what it's all about. I think that's the key to ending all this caustic polarization that's going on. I was reading on the website, you have something called the Braver Network, and I guess that's going around to other organizations. Is that what you do?
Yeah, we have a strong network of progressive and liberal and libertarian and conservative organizations that are partners with Braver Angels in various ways. And so that Braver Network is what we call those partnerships.
You know, does it seem to you like most people want to end this? Most people I talk to hate it. They, you know, they're sick of it. It's to the point where they just want to check out. You know, they don't even want to vote. They just want to, because
right.
of all the dissension and corruption and, you know, and it's, they seem like that's the answer. I don't want
right.
to hear it. I don't want to talk
about
it. Yeah,
no, it's,
you know.
For a lot of people, that's an understandable reaction of that feeling of wanting to just withdraw and feel disempowered because it's like, what impact can I have that would be effective or productive in any way? It just feels too big and too out of control, this social chaos. And I encounter that a lot, and I, you know, have the experience of noticing that voice within myself too, of feeling cynical or feeling critical. And one of the things that I really appreciate about work like this is just that it's a great antidote. It's a great antidote to taking some substantive practice and modeling of a different way of doing things on a scale that's accessible on an individual level, to be able to have impact on the people in our families, our work lives, our neighbors, our communities. And also that there's a lot of sort of inner development growth potential to not feel so despondent and worked up and pessimistic and depressed about the nature of our social reality right now, because it is so foreboding and overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, and it must be great. Like, I know I've been to dinner parties the last few years, especially, or parties or something, and a conversation will start, and then the host or someone will say, no politics, we are not talking about politics, that's it, and cuts the whole conversation off, and that's the end of it.
Right.
Whereas
right.
what you're trying to do is kind of the opposite, bring people together to be able to talk about what they're thinking about and what their concerns are and what they see as possible
yeah.
solutions, and yeah, I think that's a healthy thing.
Yeah, and it's important that it's twofold. Part of it is creating spaces that are specifically, you know, a container for that kind of interaction. And then part of it is practicing and building skills to be able to do that more confidently and more effectively, because, you know, I think most people have had the experience of having a really unsuccessful interaction about something contentious or about a disagreement, and things can go sideways or sour so quickly that it's completely understandable that a lot of people just don't want to touch disagreement these days, because it just, it flips so quickly into people taking things personally, speaking negatively in a personal attack sort of way, being completely incredulous and despondent or mean-spirited about their disagreement. And so this, you know, these are skills for part of the, you know, the name Braver Angels is like having the confidence and the courage to be able to take the steps of not putting that hat on all the time, which would be exhausting, but choosing to engage and practice those skills and having disagreements, so that, you know, just like anything, when you flex those muscles and you work those skills out, you build confidence, and you, when you can string together some successful conversations or successful disagreements, it's a really heartening experience, because you can start to see the potential where before it just was something that you'd want to run away from and avoid.
Yeah, and the problem with that is no one ever understands anyone, and you're just left with that, you know.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and there are great strategies and skill sets for addressing something like that, an issue like the information divide that we have. Very
yeah.
different sets of common understanding with different groups of people right now, and that's a very odd dynamic to put on the top of sort of the temperature of the social disagreements, that people can't even agree on what they're talking about, and often don't have, once you get into the content of a disagreement, it's the case that people start to realize, oh, we're not even really talking about the same thing here. We're using the same names and language, but you feel like you have to teach somebody what your perspective is to even get into a conversation, and that can be so tricky. Two of the things that I really appreciate as statements that encapsulate a strategy, one is the statement, I think this comes from Alison Armstrong's work with sort of men and women learning to relate to each other more.
Who is she?
This idea of... Alison Armstrong wrote the book The Queen's Code, about men and women relating to each other. It's a book that I really have enjoyed, and one of the things that I appreciate about her work is that it's so easily extrapolated into other parts of our social experience, whether it's political disagreement or temperament or personality type, that when we start to recognize that not only do we have different points of view, but we have very different reasons to have our different points of view, whether it's our gender, our social background, our temperament, our political identities. And one of the statements I really love from her work is, I assume you've got a really good reason for what you're doing. I just don't understand it, or I've been confused by it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So mm-hmm. it's sort of a statement of good faith. And how often naming that or something like, you know, I trust that the sources that you're getting your information from are sources that you trust. I'm curious why you trust them, and I'd like to share why I trust the sources that I use. Something like that, where you can, you know, you can use these keys to unlocking what feels like impasses in conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so rewarding if you do happen to run into somebody, and I know over the last few years it has happened occasionally to me, who is completely on the opposite end of the spectrum of some topic that, you know, and vaccines come to mind, but you were able to sit and have a reasoned discussion about it. And I don't, mm-hmm. I can't think of anything that's happened that's been more rewarding to me than that over the last few years, just to be able to have a reasoned discussion with someone who thinks differently about a topic like that. It's so helpful. And
yeah, it's a powerful reflection of what good medicine it is to be able to relate to each other, even when we disagree, that it's just, there's so much grace in having an experience of feeling heard by somebody, even in, when we disagree, and feeling like we can get into contentious topics without it going sideways and falling apart. And, you know, one of the big principles of Braver Angels' work is that we engage not to convince each other or try to coerce each other into anything, but in the good faith with the spirit of generosity and curiosity that things have the space to settle. And you know, when we grow and when we change our perspective about things, it's never because we're beaten over the head with somebody's better ideas. It's because something is allowed, you know, a seed is allowed to have some space to grow. And when we can approach disagreement that way, of offering our perspective in a generous way and hearing somebody else's perspective and making sure they feel respected and understood, that's really the magic of where positions change and opinions change and people can warm to each other. And even if there's not disagreement, that the vitriol and that tension that can be there when there's conflict just really transforms.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just think this organization is doing really good work. I wish, like I said, I think I met you a few years ago, and that's the first I heard about it. Now, you don't hear about it. Like, there's no media attention at all about it. And it's a national organization, right? I mean, are there chapters in every state?
There are, and part of the challenge of being a volunteer leader is that I've only got so much capacity in my personal life to do this. And so, you know, would welcome if somebody wanted to come forward and help be a part of bringing more media presence to what we do and be part of a support team. That's always welcome. And yeah, that nationally there has certainly been some attention. It's not the kind of thing that is a sexy story that catches fire and everybody pays attention to, but there has been some good coverage of it. I know there was an event in Idaho a couple weeks ago where a local television crew went to the day-long event and did a really nice piece about it. And things like that, you know, are little blips that cause ripples here and there. But it's certainly the way that people's attention is trained to sort of go after conflict and go after sensationalism. Even when there are stories, it tends to just be relatively few people whose radar it sticks with, because that's just the nature of our attention right now, that we tend to gloss over things working well or things that are constructive in that way. And I think, you know, changing our habits in that way is a good thing to think about, of giving attention to positive, constructive things like the Braver Angels work.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a perfect topic for NPR. I've never heard you guys, not that I listen to it all the time, but I do listen. You know,
right.
But
yeah, I know over the years, 7 Days and NPR have done stories on the group up in St. Albans, and mm-hmm. So it happens occasionally. You know, you could probably search the internet and find stories, but it's not a frequent, glamorous occurrence in the media, for sure.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not sexy enough. Not like Trump paying hush money to a porn star.
Right.
Which you hear about every 3 seconds.
A group of friendly people got together and talked about their disagreements and came away enjoying each other.
Yeah, right.
Not usually newsworthy.
Oh, well. But if someone did, do you have any events coming up?
Yeah, there's a couple of events on the calendar right now. One I mentioned earlier is this Being Red in a Blue Environment. That's for people who identify as leaning red socially or politically, leaning to the right. And, you know, that's just as welcome for people who used to identify as being progressive or liberal, or who find themselves independent or somewhere in the middle, who look around in our culture and feel like they lean right on a lot of issues. That's going to be the morning of June 22nd. at the American Legion in Montpelier. And then there's a group that is trying to build some momentum towards having a local alliance down in the Upper Valley around Thetford and Heartland, that area. Uh-huh. And they've got an event that's called Depolarizing Ourselves. That's one of these events that has been altered to be used in a faith community setting. And I think the UU Church of the Upper Valley is hosting an event that would probably be more catering towards people who feel like they're on the left. And that's a really wonderful workshop that is called Depolarizing Ourselves. Depolarizing Within is the one that it comes from. And that's a workshop that talks about skills for how we can adjust our filters when we're thinking about people that we feel frustrated or upset with before we even practice the skills of engagement, just how much of a difference it makes when we're thinking contemptuously about somebody and then go try to have an engagement with that person. Unsurprisingly, it often falls on its face real quickly when that's the energy that we're bringing to an engagement.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Can you talk a little bit about, you're having an upcoming convention, right? Braver Angels?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So there's also, I don't have the dates right in front of me, but it's the first thing on the webpage right now on braverangels.org. And there's a big convention. We did one last summer that was a wonderful experience. I went down with a group of people to Gettysburg, and we had, I think, about 700 people. That was a mix of right-leaning and left-leaning people.
That's a pretty good turnout.
At a university campus. It was great. It was really diverse and just a very eclectic mix of activities and events. And so this year we're doing it in Kenosha, which is interesting because it's right between the Democratic and the Republican conventions that will also happen this summer in Chicago and Milwaukee. So symbolically, it's a little bit of like holding the space in the middle and trying to take some of the air out of the sails of the vitriol and the revenge and the mean-spiritedness that is expected to be a part of this odd election year.
Yeah, boy.
I think that's the third week of June.
Yeah, again, June 27th.
Braverangels.org and check that out.
I just pulled it up. It's June 27th to the 29th. In Kenosha,
yes,
Wisconsin.
Right,
so.
Yep.
Well, that's terrific. And
that's open to anybody, whether you've been involved in a Braver Angels event or have never heard of Braver Angels. You can sign up to be somebody that goes to the convention, and that could be a wonderful introduction to this movement and what Braver Angels is up to. And then also, I mentioned that the calendar of events on the website often has online events. Almost any week, there's a number of different events, and you can just sign up for anything and go check it out and get the flavor for what it's like for people to be engaging in this way.
Yeah. And do you want to say what the website is?
Braverangels.org.
Okay. And if someone wanted to contact you directly just to get information, or would they just go to the website, and is there a contact on there for you?
Yeah, I wish I had an easier email to give you. I'll give you my email, but it's a little bit convoluted. On the website, you can find who your state coordinator is, and you can get my information from the website if you dig a little bit. And I don't have good directions for exactly where to go, but my email address is L. Earl Centers for my last name. It's a hyphenated name, Earle hyphen Centers. So L for Lincoln, Earl Centers with a hyphen at braverangels.org is my email address. And again, people can find that state coordinator's email address on the website also. And anybody's welcome to reach out with questions or to find out more or to look at getting involved. I would love to see more and more cultivating of local groups throughout the state, and eventually within the next couple of years, I'd love to have an alliance in each region of the state of people holding space for this kind of activity and learning to be leaders in their community of moderating and facilitating events and helping to teach others these skills and hold space for practicing these skills.
Yeah, it's just such a great goal. I mean, I think it's so needed right now. We really, all of us, You know, I think all of us are feeling that tension.
Yeah, yeah, both personally and institutionally. I know, you know, if I could do this full time, I'd be working with media institutions and with the state legislature, and lots of cities and towns are interested in, and school boards are interested in having work like this done to be able to learn strategies and skills for how to hold space more effectively. And so there's a collective interest and need for this kind of attention to be put on not running away from the challenge of disagreement, but figuring out how to move towards it in a way that's graceful and effective and practical for people.
Where does Braver Angels get its funding? Is it mostly donations?
My understanding, I don't know much about the back end of it, but my understanding broadly is that it's a combination of grants and endowments, and then maybe something like half through donations. So you can become a member. I think being a member is like $1 a month.
Wow.
And that gets you, you know, a sort of a newsletter from time to time, and you get on official lists where you'll be let know about events. And so when you're a paid member, there's those small dues, any amount that you donate beyond $12 a year, but those small dues are a part of it. And again, it's a pretty small paid staff nationally, and so part of the organization has made the decision to do grassroots volunteer leadership rather than trying to grow, a professional leadership team nationally. And so the overhead costs are a different scale because of that. But yeah, I think that there's quite a bit of private and I don't know if there's any public investment in Braver Angels, but certainly I've heard that there's some endowments and I guess, you know, philanthropy groups that donate from both sides of the spectrum to what Braver Angels is up to.
Yeah, maybe the more it goes along, the more, you know, you get established and known, you'll get some more funding. It's
right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough, Lincoln. I know we've been planning this for quite a while now, and we finally made it happen. And
yeah, it's my pleasure to come on.
Yeah, and keep us posted, and best of luck. And I hope Braver Angels gets a lot of traction.
Yeah, well, thank you for this piece of exposure, and hello to everybody that's listening, to those that I've met and those that I haven't met. It's nice to be talking to you all, so thanks for having me on, and it's been nice talking with you.
Thanks, Lincoln. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. You too. Enjoy this nice weather.
Yeah, you too. Bye now. Okay, that was Lincoln Earl Centers, who's the Vermont director of Braver Angels. And when I first heard about that organization, I was just so impressed, because I think it's something that we all really need right now, to come together. All right, I'm going to try this. Play a song in that light, and let's hope it works. And here it goes. Okay.
The way you get democracy to function is by informing the public. Children's Health Defense. Children's Health Defense is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The mission of Children's Health Defense is to end childhood health epidemics by working aggressively to eliminate harmful exposures, hold those responsible accountable, and to establish safeguards to prevent future harm. Go to childrenshealthdefense.org to learn more.
Candles lit, eyes are slit. Jumping now, paperclip. We can move. sail a ship. Tap it in now. Ruby lips. She makes stop sugar girl. Got me so strong out of the
is but a song we sing, fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Some may come and some may go, he will surely pay his. When the one that left us yet returns for us at least, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another. Together, try to love one another right now. Mm-hmm. together, try to love one another right now. Song I sing, you will understand. Listen, you need to
is all we know lately. Saturdays are all the same. Sympathy is overrated, like a snapshot when you've lost the game. Now it's hard to feel the run. I become the serial killer of us both. Now it's hard to feel the run. I become the serial killer of us both.
Try.